Good morning. I have a couple of announcements. One is that this is the last week to sign up for the Art of Marriage class that John and Jamie Wise will be leading. It starts April 6th and it runs for 6 weeks. So if you're interested, I believe there's a sign up sheet in the Narthex. And the class will be meeting in the library for the 6 weeks. If you have any questions, you can contact John or Jamie. I'm sure they'd be happy to answer your questions. I know there was something else. Also, the Women's Fellowship is selling Easter candy, so if you're interested in any of that, there's a sign-up sheet in the Narthex for that as well. I don't know if anyone else has any announcements. Jeremy?
On behalf of the search committee, I want to just remind everyone that this week, on the 25th and 26th, we have our prayer evenings, and we really covet those prayers, and we really would enjoy to know that this congregation is praying for us, and praying for your church, and praying for this parish church. So we really hope that you feel it in your hearts to come out on one of those two nights and to go through to the different prayer stations and really listen to God and really ask God to do good things for our church here in helping us to find this pastor. So that was one. And then I have another announcement that the Hebrews Bible study is going to be starting on Monday, April 7th. It's going to be our first meeting. We're going to do our meetings here at church, and they're going to run from 6:30 to 7:30. That way it's enough time that if people want to stick around and talk a little after, that's fine. But from 6:30 to 7:30, there's an announcement in your bulletin about that, and there's a sign-up sheet out there, so if you could sign up. That way I can know how many books I need to go ahead and purchase, and we can try and have your books to you by next week, maybe. Okay? Thank you.
And you said the Bible study is on Hebrews, correct?
Yeah, Hebrews, okay. Yeah.
Does anyone else? Oh, Pam.
Just wanted to let everyone know that this week and next week I'll be taking orders for Easter flowers. There's the option of lilies, azaleas, or mums. There's a sign-up sheet in the Narthex for that. Thanks.
Anyone else? All right, if not, I'm going to invite everybody to stand and greet one another by shaking hands. We haven't done this for a while, so get up and get out all your extra energy. All right, I hate to break up the fellowship, it's great, and everyone has nice big smiles on their faces. But if I invite you to take your seat again, we're gonna share joys and concerns. So yes, Rich has the mic. I do have a couple. Rita France has been moved to Stone Ridge just to help her build up her strength again, so in the hopes that she can return home. And Pastor Bob is at Chickie's for renewal services this week, so I'm sure he would love to see some familiar faces if you'd like to go. I'm not sure of any details about that, but services are just through Wednesday. So it sounds like it's the same schedule we had here. Anybody else?
I'd still like to ask for prayers for Jenna. We still did not get her test results back. She will see the doctor, I think, on Tuesday. However, I saw my family doctor, and I just found out that I have a slight fracture in my one vertebrae, so please keep me in prayers, too.
Who is, those are all for Jenna, or did you say something?
Jenna has back problems.
Jenna has back, okay.
So just asking for prayers for the world with all this warfare going on and discontent and it's.
All right. Any others? I know there's quite a few listed in the bulletin as well.
I have a joy, which I think is a joy. I was able to visit another church last weekend to see a friend get baptized. It was LCBC Church in Mannheim. And they actually have two services Saturday and two services Sunday. And it was just so inspiring and uplifting because the total people they had the past weekend for their church services was over 6,000 people. They have four sister churches, and it gave the total of all the churches of last week, the weekend before, was over 13,000 people attended. And I just thought it was so inspiring because I watched the news and everything, just think Christianity isn't there like we think it should be. I just thought it was so uplifting. So I wanted to share that.
Okay, thank you.
I want to thank all my friends here at church who sent me sympathy cards because my sister was killed last Sunday.
Any others? If that's all, I'm going to ask you to stand for the invocation, and then we'll remain standing for the first hymn. Lord our God, great, eternal, wonderful, utterly to be trusted, you give life to us all. You help those who come to you. You give hope to those who cry to you. Forgive our sins, secret and open, and rid us of every habit of thought that stands against the gospel. Set our hearts at peace, so we may live our lives before you, confidently and without fear. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
You may be seated. Dear God, we do ask that you breathe upon us this morning as we have come together to worship you. Please be with the people that we've lifted up in this service, those who are listed in the bulletin, and especially the ones we have named. Please be with Rita and help her to gain the strength that she needs. Please be with Jenna, that she may deal with her her issues in a graceful way. Please be with the world. There's a lot of warfare going on right now. There's a lot of innocent people being trapped in between nations who are struggling against each other. And please hold those people especially close to you. Please be with Pastor Bob this week as he preaches at Chickies, that they might have feel the strength of your power through the renewal services, that they might feel a rebirth in their congregation. We're thankful for the prayers and the cards and everyone who supported Vera and her family this week with the tragedy from last weekend, with the untimely passing of her sister. And we're also thankful for the large attendance that was witnessed last weekend to people who are faithful to you and who want to be a part of a congregation and to do your will. It's very uplifting in light of the things that are happening in the world that there are people who are drawn to you and drawn to your word. Please help us have a great service this morning and have us prayerfully consider what we hear and try to incorporate it into our lives, and that we might be able to lift you up and have our own renewal here at our church. In your name we pray, amen.
Please join me in hymn number 601, Take My Hand and Lead Me, Father.
Thank you.
So on Friday, I saw a 2013 earnings report for the company where I'm currently employed, and it stated that 2013 was a year of exceptional achievement. As many of you know, the facility where I work is closing, and also they're closing the facility in Puerto Rico, and they're moving our company to another country. So it seemed to be a little inconsistent, you know, with the earnings report. And it got me to thinking, what would God do if I had a year of exceptional achievement? I don't think he'd pat me on the back and say, hey, good job, but I'm going to go use this person over here to further my ministry. I think he would continue to use us to help him spread the gospel. As our scripture lesson suggests, and you'll hear that later in the service, I expect that he would expect us to continue to advance his gospel, and he would expect us to be ready to serve whenever he needs us. One way we can do those things is to advance the gospel is to help by giving our tithes and our offerings to the church that we may further God's mission. Let's pray. Dear God, we know that not every year is a year for us of exceptional achievement, but that's what we strive to give you. Thank you so much for believing in us and still requiring us to serve you. Whether we've had a year of exceptional achievement or not, you still expect us to be ready to serve and to give towards your ministry. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Our first scripture lesson this morning is from Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 through 18. Sorry, a little warm. Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so in love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached, and because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice. And our second scripture lesson is from Luke chapter 12, verses 35 to 40. Be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning, like men waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. I tell you the truth, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the second or third watch of the night. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him.
The Apostle Paul was in chains in Rome. That was their method of making sure that he didn't preach Christ to redeem us. But they didn't prevent him from meeting with his fellow apostles, and they didn't prevent him from writing letters. And so today we have all these wonderful letters in the New Testament that help us to live the life of Christ. In the first scripture we looked at just now in Philippians, Paul says, but there are some who preach false prophecy out of envy and out of rivalry with me. I've never understood that exactly. The post-high students had looked at that scripture some months ago, and I suggested the Jim Jones cult. They weren't even born then. And for them, that's ancient history. And so I continued thinking about an example of something in our day and age. There's a man named Harold Camping. He has the Harold Camping Christian Family Radio. I've never listened to it. I don't know if you have or not. But in 1994, he said, Christ will be returning on a specific date. And then he said, well, but I'm not quite sure. Well, he didn't return in 1994. And then in about 2008 or 2009, he had recalculated everything he read in the New Testament. And he said, May 21st, 2011, Christ is returning for his faithful. And I wouldn't have even known that, except that I read the Reading paper. And there was a man in the Reading area who's been listening to Harold Camping. And he got a lot of posters he was putting in people's lawns saying, be prepared. May 21st, 2011, Christ is returning. Handed out pamphlets, talked to anybody who would listen to him. And the Reading Eagle then had someone go out to ask people some questions. And the first young girl that they talked to, age 12, they asked this question. If the world were to end this weekend, what would you do? Now, all of you students, you'll love this. She said, definitely not go to school. Anything but school. Maybe go ride the roller coasters, spend some time with friend and family, and spend all my money. That was her response. Then they interviewed a 27-year-old man who does swimming pool maintenance. He said, and this one's bothersome to me. He said, I guess I would gather the resources I have and go from there. It would come to chaos. Everybody would be pillaging. I'd protect what I have. Now, I don't know what your idea of the second coming is, but I've often heard, you know, that you never see a hearse with a U-Haul attached. So he would protect what he has. The third person was a 46-year-old hairstylist, and she said, we'd get the family together and go someplace we've always wanted to go. Rack up the credit cards. And I wondered about that, too. Who's going to pay that bill? Or why worry about it? The fourth person was a 60-year-old instructor at Curves, ladies. She said, I'd get in touch with loved ones, especially seeing the great-grandchildren, and spend the last loving moments with my husband. A 48-year-old man in sales said, I'd get on my knees and pray to God, and I'd get my family together. A 76-year-old commercial property owner said, I'd say my prayers and ask for forgiveness. What else can you do? A 62-year-old auto repairman said, I would go about my business as usual. I don't normally go to church, but it couldn't hurt. A 53-year-old unemployment lady said, it'll be good. We'll all be up in heaven. I'm going to get a hold of everybody I know and talk to them. That sounds what I picture. Then they talked to a 42-year-old male store clerk, and he said, I'd spend time with my wife and son. I wouldn't worry. I'd just stay home with them. A 53-year-old unemployed lady said, I would spend it with my family and friends. A 42-year-old clerk typist said, if I die today, I'm good. I don't fear. A 75-year-old beekeeper said, I would continue doing exactly what I'm doing. I'm retired, and I enjoy what I do. When God says it's your time, I'm ready. Well, then the Reading Eagle sent Bruce Poston, who's been a longtime reporter for them. They sent him out to do some checking, too. And he talked to some atheists. And they said, doomsday cults that ruin people's lives as they reap tax-free profits. And Blair Scott, who's the communications director of the American Atheists, said, we wish they would take into account the potential for this to disrupt the lives of gullible followers and mentally unstable individuals. You do realize, of course, that you fall into that category. If you're not an atheist, then you are a gullible follower and mentally unstable. Well, okay, so that's what they thought. And then Bruce Poston went to see Dr. Greg Carey, a professor of New Testament at Lancaster Theological Seminary, who said, I think there are two major attractions to the Bible prophecy movement. Number one, people need a storyline for their lives, especially those in a believing community that sense the church is under pressure and are looking for signs for the end. And number two, it attracts people drawn to this sort of hobby. I never thought of the end time as being a hobby, but he called it a hobby. And he said, people feel like they know stuff others don't, reinforcing the idea that ordinary people among ordinary people, that they are specialists, insiders, one of the chosen. Then Poston went on to Pastor John Studenroth, who's the chaplain at Kutztown University. And to him, camping is already a false prophet. When things get enough momentum, they pick up, especially when folks like you, meaning reporters, focus on it. Well, you know, I wouldn't have even known about it if it hadn't been for the Red Eagle focusing on it. And then Student Roth said, I suppose one good side of all of this is that it gets people thinking. And I wonder, you know, do we take the time to think about the end times? Do we take time to ask the question of, is the Bible, is the New Testament valid? Is it something we ought to spend the time studying and following? There's a national writer by the name of Cal Thomas. I read him every time so that I can laugh at him. Hope you don't, if you're a follower of Cal Thomas and think that he's on the right road, we can discuss it sometime. But I like to laugh at him. I think he's wrong most of the time. Anyway, he wrote about Harold Camping, and his editorial was in the paper. And I'd like to read a bit of what Cal Thomas says at the end, because I find that Cal Thomas and I do look at the scriptures the same. Jesus then said his followers would be afflicted, even killed. They would betray and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise, and the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness to all nations, and then the end shall come. That last part hasn't yet occurred, though people who study such things, they see signs of it approaching. And then he says, consider the futuristic book, Revelation. I'm not expecting the end on Saturday. That's because of something else Jesus said. He would return when people least expect it. And by that standard, Harold Camping is wrong, because he expects the end to come Saturday, and so it won't. Well, that was Cal's view of it. A friend of mine in South Central Pennsylvania had some visitors recently. And in the early part of their discussion, they said to him, are you expecting to go to heaven? Well, he said, you know, I'm working at it every day. And they said, well, you can't get in. It's full. And he said, well, gee, I don't know about this. And then they said, but don't worry. A new heaven and a new earth have been created. And he said, oh, show me this new heaven. Well, after a couple of minutes, they weren't doing a very good job. And he said, would you do me a favor right now? And they said, yes, anything you ask. And he said, would you please get in your car and leave and don't come back? Well, they told him they'd do anything he asked, so they left. And so far, they haven't come back. Well, that's another example of false prophets. It's another example of teachings that you and I don't see in the New Testament. The second scripture, which Karen read for us, Luke 12, 35 to 40, Jesus is using a parable of being ready for your master to return to your house. Keep your lights lit, stay dressed, be ready, even if it's a second or third watch of the night. And then he says, you must be ready because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. If you were to go to Mark chapter 13, verses 32 to 37, again, it's Christ speaking. And again, he says, watch, therefore, because when you're not looking, that's when I'm coming. In another scripture, he says, two of you will be out in the field working. One will be taken, one will be left. Now, not many of us go out in the field to work anymore. Most of us have jobs somewhere else. But think about it from that angle, too. The person will be suddenly missing, or maybe it'll be you missing from that spot. If you go to 2 Thessalonians, the second and third chapters, the Apostle Paul is writing because he's found one glitch that's becoming a major problem in the Thessalonian church. And that is, when he was there, he said to them, now listen, get your accounts in order. Get ready. Christ is returning soon. Well, some of them got their accounts in order. And they just sat down and waited. And they didn't do any work. But they expected to eat at the table. And so he says to them in the second chapter, when I was there with you, and Timothy and some of the others, we worked every day. We didn't have to. We could have expected you to feed us, but we worked every day. So now, here's the rule. Although you have yourself ready for when Christ returns, if you don't work, you don't eat. Well, all of us like to eat, but that was our message then. You need to be ready. You don't know when it's happening, but you can't quit working. Well, there are four conclusions that I'd like you to remember. Number one, be aware of false prophets. Number two, be constantly watching. Jesus said, no man or woman knows the hour, the time when I return. Number three, anticipate his return when you least expect it. Number four, continue to work. Don't just sit and wait. Work for Christ. Spread the gospel. You are his ministers in this world.
Let us build each other up each day this week.